Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. All right, my title this morning, Christmas, the Holy Holiday Filled with Hope. Let's go ahead and say that together because you look like you're all ready to take a lap this morning. You're so excited to be in God's house. So let's say that together. Ready? One, two, three. Christmas, the Holy Holiday Filled with Hope. Now, I remember when I was a kid, a few years ago, I was always hoping to get certain things for Christmas. But you never really knew what you were going to get. Now, I grew up in a blessed home and a happy home and a parents who loved the Lord, but we didn't really have a lot of money. As a matter of fact, I thought Goodwill was a name brand until I was 16 years old. And so we didn't always get what we wanted for Christmas. And so we would have a hope, I hope to get this, or I hope this is under the tree. But we have to understand, when we talk about biblical hope, it is much different. You're there now, Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, church, say this with me, Jesus. Let's say that again. I think even just his name can bring you peace this morning. And she shall bring forth a son. Ready? And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, here we go, class, ready? Emmanuel, which should be interpreted, God with us. What an awesome, awesome, awesome thought. Now, it's just crazy how all this works out. Mrs. Wiesner sings a song that goes right along with what I'm talking about. Dan spoke in Sunday school. He almost stole my message this morning. And I thought to myself, I didn't realize my wife gave it to him and me at the same time. Hope. Hope. Now, the message I've got, I have adopted from Pastor Paul Chapel. So if you don't like it, it's his fault. The popular song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Now, I'm sure he's not a Christian, but I love to hear Andy Williams sing. I love that classic song. It's the most wonderful time of the year. As a matter of fact, I almost played that this morning, but I didn't want to offend anybody. And we sing about it, don't we? Sledding in the snow, spending time with loved ones, roasting marshmallows over an open fire. I'm just curious, has anybody roasted marshmallows over an open fire at Christmas? That's what I thought. I'm like, come on, Andy, what are you doing here? It was recorded, Melissa, in 1963, but it's still one of the most requested holiday songs ever. Here's the problem, though. While the Christmas season truly is wonderful, for many around the world, it's a time of despair, unrest, hopelessness. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, they'll tell us that suicide rates skyrocket around the holidays. Why? People have no hope. People have no hope. Can I tell you this morning that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything else may be fine, but a lot of it is fake? People talking about how wonderful the life is when really their life is not wonderful at all. It's train wreck city. Why? They have no hope. They have no hope. We live in an imperfect world where too often things seem they're going well one minute and breaking down the next. Things all but certain today are thrown into uncertainty and chaos tomorrow. The man we read about this morning, He knew what it was like to have a wonderful life one moment and have chaos the very next. In Matthew 1, we read the account of Joseph being hit with unexpected news and struggling how to handle it. His dream was falling apart. His hope for a wonderful, rosy future seemed to dissipate. He just didn't know what to do. But when things seemed at the most hopeless, God stepped in to deliver the news about the birth and his son, who would be the hope of the world. Now, the word hope, Pastor Robert J. Morgan wrote this. Now, listen now. In the Bible, the word hope is not synonymous with maybe. Did you get that? The word hope is not synonymous with maybe. Biblical hope refers to sure and certain expectations, which, because they're still in the future, create a sense of anticipation. It's not, I hope it's going to happen. It's, I have a hope. And that hope is a sure foundation. Why? It's not based on me. It's not based on you. It's based on the Word of God, which never, never fails. The hope we hear is promises on God's Word. And for Joseph, this hope was the promise that he would see the Godchild given to save the world. So here we go. Number one, you're taking notes. I hear the papers rustling as we speak. Point number one, the pronouncement of hope. Let's say that together. Ready? The pronouncement of hope. Now you were sleeping. Okay, let's try this again. One, two, three. The pronouncement of hope. What's crazy is they've been talking about this for years. The children of Israel have been looking for this for years. They talked about it. They wrote songs about it. They gathered together to talk about it. And it was here. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So here's letter A. What was the pronouncement of hope to? Well, first of all, to our spouse or our engaged couple. Mary and Joseph were engaged. So the Jewish tradition at the time was different in those days. A spouse meant that a contract had already been agreed upon by the groom and the father of the bride. Make you kind of nervous, wouldn't it, ladies? You didn't have anything to do with it. The husband got together with the father of the bride and they cooked up a contract. And so they were a spouse. For all intent purpose, Mary and Joseph were legally married. Now, this is important. But, as Jewish law and tradition would do, they were separated for a time before intimacy. So, during this time, Joseph was to prepare a home for Mary. Now, imagine Joseph was counting down the days to be with Mary. He loved Mary. I'm sure he was looking forward to a wonderful life. But little did he know, as he went to the hardware store there to pick up things for the home, that things would change quite drastically. So not only was there an announcement to the engaged couple, we have to understand, this is important, that they were both pure. Now, Mary was a virgin. Now, some versions of the Bible try to change the term virgin to a young woman. Beloved, that's a problem. That's a problem. The Bible is crystal clear that Mary and Joseph were morally pure. She was not a young woman per se. She was a virgin. It is so important to know that is a doctrine that we cannot, should not, or ever go away from. Ever. Ever. If you're visiting this morning and you're at a church where they call Mary a young woman and they don't refer to her as a virgin, you need to put your shoes on and get out of that church because they are not teaching the doctrine of the Bible. Do you believe in doctrine this morning? Can you say amen? It's important. Doctrine is so important that it's the theme of the church. Why? It's the foundation for how we live our lives. Why are so many Christians in chaos? They don't know the doctrines of the Bible. So therefore, they kind of go here and go there and do all these different things, and they don't know how to live their life because they're not rooted in doctrine. There's certain things that the Wyrick household does not participate in. Why? Because it goes against the doctrine of the Bible. And beloved, you should know what the doctrine of the Bible is. You should live by that doctrine of the Bible. You should guide your family by the doctrine of the Bible. So this pronouncement came to them. But you have to understand, they were engaged, but they were pure. Luke chapter 1, 26 and 28. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, that thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The virgin birth, like we said, is a doctrine of the Bible. We can't compromise. Over and over again, the Bible protects the doctrine of the virgin birth. If a church preaches anything other than that, they're wrong. If your friend says anything other than that, guess what? They're wrong. Mary was a virgin. Her and Joseph had not been together. Matter of fact, it's so important, it was stated in the Old Testament as well. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So they were espoused, they were pure, but they were also blessed. Matthew chapter 1:18, there's two phrases we want to know. First of all, Mary was found with child. Now this is important. The word translated here indicates something that is discovered through inquiry or observation, recognized, detected. I can't wrap my mind around this. Mary and Joseph had no foreknowledge about this whatsoever. Simply put, it was completely unexpected discovery. You think you're having a bad day. You think you've got issues in your life. 1 minute, Joseph's engaged, he's pure, she's pure. Next thing you know, his wife is pregnant. We got problems, beloved. And it's not like it is today. Back in those days, that was bad news. That was a curse that you held the rest of your life. You never got away from it. But the second phrase that's mind-boggling, it's of the Holy Ghost. Typically, when a baby's on the way, we recognize that he or she is a byproduct of a mom and dad. Yet the Bible makes no mention of a father for Jesus. In fact, God goes further. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Okay? It says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." Made of a woman. What a thought. Mind-blowing. Science, the world will say it's physically impossible for a baby to be conceived without a man's contribution. But the Bible is clear that Jesus had no earthly father. How can this be? Write this down. A very wise person said this: "Don't try to explain it, you'll lose your mind. Don't try to deny it, you'll lose your soul." Can I say that again? Don't try to explain it, you'll lose your mind. Don't try to deny it, you'll lose your soul. All we need to know, it was the work of God. Beloved, this is where people get tripped up all the time. But this is where faith steps in. Stop trying to explain God all the time. Stop it. You can't. If you had to explain God, it wouldn't be a miracle. If we explained everything in the Bible, it wouldn't be a miracle. If you could explain it, it wouldn't be a miracle. In other words, there's many times we dumb down the Bible trying to tell our coworker why it's true. I'm here to tell you, you can have conversations and apologetics is fine, but at the end of the day, God said it and that's it. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. God said it, it's true. There's a lot of smart, important, well-meaning people that are in hell this morning because they couldn't swallow their pride to understand what the Bible says the faith of a child can accept. It's the miracle of the virgin birth. It's a miracle. It always amazes me how people make fun of the Bible, how it's a bunch of fairy tales. But we'll go to a theater and spend $15 to watch a guy in leotards shoot a laser out of his eyes. And we'll go and watch 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 movies and name our kids after him and name dogs after him. There's actual language in Star Trek. I can't think what it's called. I can't think of it. People actually learn the language. I'm like, are you serious? It's not true, people. It's made up. You know, whatever the, you know, Vulcan thing, you can't touch a guy's neck, your blood isn't green, it's all fake. We eat that stuff up by the mouthful. Yet we try to say that we have a divine creator, that stuff's made up. I'm like, dude, you need to get a reality check. Amen. You ask any doctor, any nurse worth their salt, if you want to see if someone's alive, what do? Check their heartbeat. They don't say, is their toes wiggling? I mean, as a kid, we didn't go to the doctor for anything. Your arm could be like hanging by 2 threads. If you could move it, it's not broke. You're fine. We didn't go to the doctor for nothing. Your ankle would be swollen up like that. Can you walk on it? Well, you're fine. We're not going to the doctor. But if you do, what do? They start checking your blood pressure. They start checking your heartbeat. But it's amazing. A baby has a heartbeat. It's not really a human. We're so blinded by our knowledge that we cannot understand the simple truths of the Bible. Why try to? My friends don't understand the miracles of God. I'll be honest with you, I don't either. That's where faith steps in. That's where faith bridges that gap. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received upon into glory. Think about this, beloved. The very child Israel had been waiting for was the child Mary carried in her womb, made of a woman. The hope of the world was wrapped up in this doctrinal truth. Jesus Christ was not the son of any human father. He was the Son of God. And we need to remember that this Christmas season. That's why we have a hope. The hope is not me. The hope is not harvest. The hope is not even clean air. The hope is Jesus Christ. That is our hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's not something we have to drum up. We have a sure hope. His name is Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He came to this earth to save us from our sins. Glory to God. That is our hope. I praise God I don't have to hope in my finances. I praise God I don't have to hope in my athletic ability. I'd really be in trouble. Or my speaking ability. I don't know about you. Siri never understands me. I'm like, come on, Siri. Where's the love? I'm like, call Blair Wilson. Ordering pepperoni pizza. I'm like, no! I mean, not that ordering pepperoni pizza sounds good about right now. Our hope is not in anything except Jesus Christ. That's why we have a sure hope. That's why we know we can have a hope. So number one, the pronouncement of hope. Number two, the pondering of Joseph. I know you're proud of me. It's alliterated. I stole this. That's why I can't come up with those of my own. The pondering of Joseph. What did he ponder? Man, let's face it. Joseph is in a very difficult position. I mean, what would you do? You're supposed to be pure. She's supposed to be faithful to you. And you find out she's expecting. Could you imagine how difficult that would be? You ever been hurt, kicked in the emotional stomach before that the news brings you to your knees? I've been there. You ever been so hurt at night you can't sleep? You ever have such trial and tribulation it bothers you to your core? Have you ever been so bothered your vision gets blurry? Have you been so much to the point that all you can do is just say the word Jesus because you can't get any other word out of your mouth? I wonder if that's where Joseph was at. The very woman Joseph loved, cared for, adored, was pregnant with a child that was not his. And the Bible tells us he wrestled with the news. Matthew 1:19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." What in the world is Joseph going to do? His world is falling apart. Maybe Joseph asked, why? Maybe he wondered, why? What did I do to deserve this, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why? Maybe you have these same feelings this morning. Lord, why is this happening to me? A very dear friend of mine has just received some tragic news. And he was talking to me. And he said these words, "David, I don't understand why. I tried my best to raise my kids to the best of my ability. I tried my best to raise them to love the Lord. I tried my best to raise them in church. What's happening?" Beloved, remember, no matter what is going on, no matter what's happening around us, no matter how little it makes sense, God is always right. Matter of fact, let's say that. I think we should say that this morning. God is always right. Say it again. God is always right. God's will is always based on His understanding and His word. Stop trying to outsmart, outthink, outwonder God. It's a lost cause. Joseph had a choice. It's the same choice you and I have. We can trust our emotions, or we can trust God. We can trust our emotions, or we can trust God. Can I hear to tell you this morning, your emotions change? No, they don't. I'll prove it to you. You go outside. You got plans. It's raining. Oh, man. It's raining. Excuse me. You go to the store. You're going to make that peanut butter pie. You go in and they're out of that. Oh, man. You're having a great day. You get on Facebook. Someone says something. Oh, man. Guys, you go to work. You found out. You got it. You got your position changing, your job. That friend no longer wants to be with you. Your wife told you you're fat. Your emotions lie to you all the time. Can I tell you that God's plan is not based on our emotions? Glory to God. We could be happy one minute, sad the next. Excuse me. Doesn't matter to God. His faithfulness doesn't depend on our emotions. His plan doesn't depend on our emotions. How we feel. It is, however, dependent on His unchanging word. If you're struggling this morning, you get in your Bible after church, you start writing down every promise of God, and you keep writing until you can't write anymore. And then you put it down a 3x5 card, and every time you get discouraged, you look at that 3x5 card, and you tell devil, "You're a liar, I'm not going to believe in you, I know that God is real, I know His word's unchanging, and I can hold on to it." Amen. Stop going to Facebook, stop going to social media, stop it. Go to the Bible. That's where you should be. It's not about how we feel, but it's about what God says. That's what's important. Are you understanding this point? We can't live our lives by how we feel. I have to live by what the Bible says. And when I live by what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter. It's immaterial. Whether the Walmart person says Merry Christmas to me or not is not going to dictate how I live my life. Whether Starbucks says Merry Christmas on their stupid coffee cup is not going to determine how I live my life. I'm not going to walk around dictating to this certain business that's in it for one reason, to make money, how I live my life. I'm going to love Christmas because it's the birth of Jesus Christ to a Virgin Mary. It's the hope of the world. And it's our job to tell people the hope of the world. It's not the world's job. It's not Target's job. It's not Kroger's job. It's not Walmart's job. It's my job to tell the world. Someone once said, first-generation Christians have convictions. Second-generation Christians have beliefs. Third-generation Christians have emotions. And isn't that the truth today? We no longer, we as in the third generation, it's no longer what the Bible says, it's how I feel. You live by that, you are in trouble. You cannot live by your emotions. Now here's the deal, beloved. Joseph pondered, this is what he pondered. We know that Joseph was a charactered man. The Bible says he was a just man. We know Joseph's character from the first word just. It says just means righteous, observing divine laws, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. So here's the deal. Joseph was a just man. He was trying his best to live by the Jewish laws. He was trying his best, for lack of better words, to live that Christian life. He had principles already. So right away, Joseph, I'm sure, even though he received devastating news, because of his foundation, he started to think, how should I respond to this? I mean, honestly, he had the right to have a divorce and a public stoning of Mary. That was well within his right. And probably no one would have blamed him if he did that. It really would have been, I hate to say this, the easy way out. It would have been easy for him, but no one would have blamed him. I mean, who's going to believe but born of the Holy Ghost? But because Joseph was a compassionate man, he acted right. Matthew records that rather than making Mary a public example, he was going to do it privately, meaning this. He was not going to humiliate her in front of her family and friends. He wasn't going to give a reason. That's what Joseph was going to do. Here's a little something I'm going to put in here. This is free. No charge for this morning. You know, beloved, we don't have to say everything we know publicly. We don't have to put it on social media just because you know it. We don't have to stop and tell everything we know all the time. I mean, can I be honest with you? Doesn't the Holy Spirit ever tell you, shh, stop it. Stop talking. I've unfortunately seen things in this church that have happened because a person did not listen to the Holy Spirit. They went around handling situations. They thought they knew the whole story. Guess what? They didn't know the whole story. And at the end of the day, they looked like a fool. Because we didn't stop when the Holy Spirit said, shh, Pastor Holmes knows what he's doing. You don't know the whole story. He's trying to help this situation. Why didn't he do this? Because you think you know the whole story. Beloved, I'm here to tell you. Ready? Say it with me. You don't know the whole story. And if we'll stop and listen to the Holy Spirit every now and then, and I'm like, sometimes I think I have a mental block. I'm like, I thought I would have got this by now. After 46 years, I know I don't look that old. I know. But I really am. I'll be 47 February 22nd. Mark that day down. It's after the holidays. You've already paid off your credit cards. You've got plenty of money. Whatever you want, cash is always fine. You would think after 46 years I'd get it. If news spread, if bad news spreads, so be it. It doesn't have to be by your mouth or your fingers. Joseph could have reacted harshly. He could have been mean. Frankly, walked away. And who could have blamed him? Put yourself in his shoes. But his actions spoke of love, not bitterness or anger. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is what's going to separate us from the world. Okay? Now, I know that you're probably ready to go to sleep, and I'm almost done. So you can put your shoes on. But let's read this together. Okay? Ready? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That even means in the Walmart parking lot. How about the cashier? It always happens to me. Your order comes to $9.99. I think I've got the exact change. One, two. I bet they're going, just use your debit card. I've even got the pennies. One, two, three, four, five. Always. It happened yesterday. We're going through Tiffin. The person in front of me, the speed limit is 25. They're going 23.4. The person next to them is going 23.4 as well. I'm blocked in. I'm like, would you just get out of the way? Come on, I'm trying to be loving here. I'm not trying to ram you with my car. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Man, this gets me. To me, this is the hardest chapter in the Bible for me to wrap my mind around. I'll be real transparent with you. Charity, ready? Never faileth. But whether there'll be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It never fails. You want to make a difference for the world? Live 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because the world is desperate for 1 Corinthians 13. They can't wrap their mind around it. The world's about revenge. The world's about tearing down. The world's about hurting people. The world's about gossip. You be opposite all those things. And I'm telling you, you'll stick out like a sore thumb. Pastor Paul Chappell, back in 2009, said he wrote some words in his Bible. I don't remember all of them, but these words I'll never forget. He wrote these words, be willing to be used by people. Ouch. Meaning what? People are going to take advantage of you. People are going to kick you right in the teeth. People are going to speak evil of your good. Do what's right anyways. Wow. The pondering of Joseph. Because Joseph was a just man, he responded right. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. But while he thought indicates he was thinking, he was deliberate, he was patient. Christian, when circumstances come into our lives that are out of our control, we must remember they're never out of God's control, ever. Instead of trying to work it out on our own, we have to exercise our faith. God will always reveal His will in His time. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's the last point, and we're ready to go home. Point number one, the pronouncement of hope. Point number two, the pondering of Joseph. Point number three, the provision of God. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God's ways may not make sense, but he's God. They don't have to. Did you get that this morning? I've said it over and over again. We can't always be preoccupied with the why. God doesn't owe us anything. God told Job, where were you when I created the world? Oh, that's right, Job, you weren't there. And God tells me often, David, I don't owe you anything. God may say to you, I'll never tell you why. That's hard. but we have to be okay with it. I have stated this, and I hope you understand. We can hold on to the promises of God, that God loves us, that God is good, and God has a plan. Charles Spurgeon said, when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. God's plan brought salvation to all who receive it. And our darkest times, our toughest trials, when we feel betrayed, God has a plan. God revealed his plan. Not only was he born of a woman, but was conceived of the Holy Ghost. We talked about that. Those who deny Christ's virgin birth also deny his eternal deity as eternal Godhead. Some may see Jesus was a good man. Some may see Jesus was a prophet, the messenger, the Bible. But the Bible declares this in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The conception had to be miraculous because the blood of Jesus, the blood of Joseph had no saving properties. The blood of Joseph had no resurrection property. When Jesus would die on the cross, the very blood he shed was of the Holy Ghost of God. That's why this season is so significant. That's why we have a hope. If there was no Christmas, there could be no cross. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? God has a plan, but it's not just for the person sitting next to you, beloved. It's for you. It's for you this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. I love this verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior is Christ the Lord. Who's the reason for the season? It's us. It's not Jesus. For unto you is born. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Does anybody else get worried by that Bible verse? The Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners, arguably the greatest missionary that ever walked the face of the earth. If the Apostle Paul is the chief of sinners, that must make me the five-star general of sinners. The Hebrew name Jesus literally means Jehovah saves, and Savior means deliverer. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus came to earth for one reason, that our sins could be covered by his blood, so that we could gain forgiveness and everlasting peace through faith. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and that shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, the Messiah, born of a virgin, because Jesus was God, united with man. His coming to earth showed that God was dwelling with man. He came to give us true hope. Only hope is found in Jesus. John chapter 1, 10 through 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The very message of Christmas is a message of hope. It's not a shaky hope. It's not, I hope we win. I hope the Browns beat Pittsburgh today. That's a pretty shaky hope. I hope Michigan can someday beat Ohio State. That's a pretty shaky hope. I hope we can work this out. I hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope. Our sure promise is that God came to us. He purchased our pardon, and he offers the gift of salvation. Here's my concluding statement. How did Joseph handle the news? He was obedient. He was obedient. Beloved, can I ask you a personal question, just you and me? How will you handle what God tells you to do today? He's not speaking to me. Oh, yes, He is. The question is, are you listening? God's always speaking. If God's not speaking to you, you're dead. Or you're not listening. If He's not speaking, it's because you didn't respond and obey the last time He told you what to do. Scott Haferman wrote this, "Hope in God's promise is not a wishful longing, but a faith-filled confidence for the future. It's simply impossible to trust one of God's promises and not anticipate its coming true. To know God is to trust Him, and to trust God is to trust His promises, and to trust God's promises is to be sure of their fulfillment. This assurance concerning the future, anchored in God's promise, is what the Bible calls hope. As Christians, our hope is embodied in the very name Emmanuel, God is with us. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate His presence in our lives, our eternal hope." I've spoken just over 30 minutes this morning. And you may be here telling me, "David, I have no hope. You have no idea the circumstances that are in my life this morning. You have no idea where I'm at financially. You have no idea what's going on with my family. You have no idea what's going on with my kids. You have no idea what's going on with my grandkids. You have no idea what's going on at work." I'm here to tell you, I may not, and I am not your hope, but God is hope. And you could have that hope this morning. You may have tremendous trials and tribulations. My heart goes out to the Foster family. And today they'll have that memorial. And I've been praying. And my wife has been praying. And she's got up several times. And she's went before the Lord. And we prayed in the car. And we prayed, I believe it was Friday. And we kept saying, as a family, be with the Foster family. I'm praying that Jack has an opportunity to give the gospel today. I pray. Why? But my hope is not in Jack or in the Foster family. My hope is in God. And that's the hope that only He can give us. Without Him, we have no hope. We have no hope. And many of us in here have tried over and over and over again. And we keep falling. We keep failing. Why? We're putting our thought in the wrong hope. Standing together, we'll be dismissed. I'll ask the ladies to come to the instruments this morning. It's 11 minutes after 10. Or pardon me, it's 10 minutes after 11. Excuse me. We put hundreds of miles on over the weekend. We had no close calls, praise God. That was not the case when we went away for anniversary. Some of you heard me share this story. We were on 101. I was talking to my boys, to my wife. 1 second, I look to the left. The next second, there's a vehicle in my lane as we come around a curve. I didn't even have time to shout. I whipped my vehicle to the right, went off the road as the car flew by us. I'm guessing he was going 50. I was going about 55. You can do the math. The impact would have been over 100 miles an hour. I was brought to tears as I realized that could have been a very different outcome. And as awful as that had been, I'm here to tell you I have a hope that if I wouldn't have made it, that I would have woke up with Jesus in heaven. Beloved, do you have that hope this morning? By way of radio, do you have that hope this morning? You have a trial, you have a tribulation, you have something you're going through, and it seems hopeless. I'm here to tell you with Jesus, you have hope. You can't trust in your emotions, you can't trust in your friends, but you can trust in God. Father, we love you, thank you for loving us. I have tried my best, Lord, I have tried my best. I don't want to preach in the flesh, but Lord, I want to preach your word. I pray that people would have hope this morning. Lord, we thank you and praise you.